first one in the book of Deuteronomy in chapter 12. Deuteronomy in chapter 12, and right at the end of verse 18. And thou shalt rejoice before Jehovah thy God in all the business of thy hand. Take heed to thyself, that thou forsake not the Levite all the days thou shalt be in thy land. And then Psalm 84. One verse from Psalm 84. Psalm 84 and verse 10. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I would rather stand at the threshold of the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. Have in mind this afternoon, beloved brothers and sisters, to share with you some impressions I have as to the Christian's portion at the present time. We will often consider as believers the hope we have for the future. And well, we should. The Lord's imminent coming. And our moment when we should be with the Lord, which is very much better. And that hope keeps us going on this pathway while we're here. But more than that's good, I want to just think, for the time that we had, and the Lord is pleased to leave us here on this earth, what portion do we have at the present time before we go be with the Lord Jesus? And these words affected me when I read them about the Levite. Forsake not the Levite. And so I want to begin, if you don't mind, by recapping, perhaps from the younger ones, where the Levites actually come from. The children will remember the story of Moses. Moses, the leader that God appointed for his people. And Stephen tells us in his preaching that the children of Israel rejected Moses and he fled into the wilderness. And while Moses was there, he came across a burning bush. And God spoke to him through the burning bush. And God told him to go back to Egypt because he had heard the cry of his people. And he was going to bring them out that they might worship him at that mountain. And Moses, at the age of 80 years old, went back to Egypt. Children, remember that there were 10 plagues. I'm not going to go through them all. But there were 10 plagues. And every plague was deliberately determined by God with the purpose of bringing judgment upon a god of Egypt. And all the great gods that they had, every single plague demonstrated that the God of Moses was greater than any of the things that men put their trust in. The one, of course, that shook Pharaoh the most was when darkness came down, proving that God was mightier than even the king of the Egyptian gods, Ra, who was supposed to have authority over light. The children of Israel then were faced with that last plague. One that they weren't going to be spared from, but was going to come upon all men equally. The firstborn from every house was going to die. But God gave a way out and provided the Passover lamb. And they took that lamb and they kept that lamb in the house for 2 weeks. And then they had to kill the lamb and they had to put paint, the blood over the doorpost of the lintel. And God said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And so by faith, they sheltered under the blood of the lamb. I often wonder what the elders would have felt like. You know, you've had this lamb in your house for 2 weeks. You're suddenly faced with the realization that it's either the lamb or me. The lamb must die and it's innocent, or I must die. One of us has to go. I wonder were there any tears. Maybe they're regarded as a pet in the house, I don't know. As that lamb was put to death, and the blood was put over the doorpost and lintel. And then, of course, having passed over the houses of those who had the blood, God then led them out to the Red Sea, and Pharaoh came down with all his forces to take them back again, and God came between them, and he led them out through the Red Sea, in the midst of which Pharaoh and his host was destroyed. And of course, why would these things happen as historical facts? God used them because it's the same God who redeems us today to demonstrate the purposes that he had for salvation throughout the whole of his story of salvation, right up until when it closes in a day soon to come. that the Passover lamb was the Lord Jesus. John could say that, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That trusting by faith in the blood was going to be the method by which we would be saved, even though we were all condemned by the same judgment. And that by going out, having purchased us for himself, that passing through the waters of the Red Sea, which in Corinthians it tells us all of Israel was baptized unto Moses, was going to deliver us from the power of this work. Now, of course, all the children of Israel were together in all those things. And after that, they learned that through experience, when the waters were bitter, that the cross of Christ brought sweetness to the instances of life that were hard. They learned that God provided for them with the 12 palm trees and the springs that were there. And they learned, of course, to meet their first enemy and win a battle on the part of prayer. And Moses raised his arms and he prayed for them, appealed for them, and Joshua and the others won the battle. And so they came to Mount Sinai. And Moses went up the mountain. And while they're up the mountain, the children of Israel wondered what happened to them. And they made a golden calf. And they committed a sin, the very first judgment that God had given us. And although, yes, they didn't know that that was the first commandment, that we should love God only. Still, they made this calf, and they worshipped it. And Moses came down in his fury, destroyed the calf, and he ground it to powder, and he made them drink of the water. And then, as they were all in the camp, I want us to turn to what happens next. And you can either listen to me or you can turn to it yourself, but it's in Exodus 32. And what I'd like to do is I'd like to go through five different things about the Levite that apply to us today. So if you're able to bear with me, I have a scripture from about the Levite, and we have a related scripture from the New Testament to bring us to us. So the first one is in Exodus 32 and verse 26. And Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, he that is for Jehovah, let him come to me. And all the sons of Levi gathered to him. And he said to them, thus saith Jehovah, the God of Israel, put every man his sword upon his hip, go and return from gate to gate through the camp, and slay his brother, and every man his friend, and every man his neighbour. And the sons of Levi did according to the word of Moses. And there fell the people that day about 3,000 men. And Moses said, consecrate yourselves today to Jehovah, yea, every man with his son and with his brother, and bring on yourselves a blessing today. And the New Testament scripture I'd like to relate that to is in 1 Timothy. First Timothy chapter 6, verse 11. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, piety, faith, love, endurance, meekness of spirit. Strive earnestly in the good conduct of faith. Lay hold of eternal life. Moses stood in the gate of the camp and he said, use the words of the Authorized Translation, who is on the Lord's side? Who's on the Lord's side? And you would have hoped, wouldn't you, that the whole of Israel would have gone up and then walked out of the gate and joined Moses. Wouldn't you? They were the people of God. They'd been redeemed. They'd seen the plagues. They'd seen the judgment upon Pharaoh. They'd rejoiced at the shores of the Red Sea. The whole of Israel should have stood at that point and walked out of the gates to Moses. Who's on the Lord's side? Alas, just the children of Levi stood. And they left their tents, and they left their friends, and they left their things, and they walked out of that camp to Moses. Just the sons of Levi. What about Judah? What about Reuben? What about Dan? What about Gad? What about all those others that made up the children of Israel? Just the Levites. And they left, and they went out. And you know, they were asked to do something very painful. They were asked to go back through all that rebellious host, to walk from one side of the camp to the other, and to execute a judgment upon idolatry. Paul writes to Timothy, and he says something very similar for us today. The Levites were the men of God in the children of Israel. And here, each one of us has that same call. Who is on the Lord's side? Now, obviously, when you preach the gospel preacher talks about the fact that God is a right over all of us as creator. The gospel preacher will tell you that we've all fallen and sinned. The gospel preacher will tell you that God has not given a way of salvation to the Lord Jesus, the Passover lamb. That his blood was shed and we trust by faith in him. The gospel preacher will tell you that there's eternal future waiting and blessing, and that what you need to do is to put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and become Christian. But that's not what Moses is doing. That's not what Paul is saying to Timothy. All the people of Israel belong to God already. They've been redeemed by the Passover lamb. They passed through the baptism. They've been delivered from the power of the enemy. The cry was, who is on the Lord's side to those who already know Jesus as their Savior? And so tonight, I would like to put that down as a challenge as much to my heart as to yours. Who is on the Lord's side this afternoon? Who's on the Lord's side? You say, well, I'm a Christian. I've trusted in Jesus. That's absolutely right and good and wonderful. But the question is not now, am I just saved and do I sit back? But who is on the Lord's side to commit their lives wholeheartedly to himself? The children of Levi, they got up, they did that. And it's going to be painful. It says, I didn't read it, but the previous verses in Timothy, there were things that had to be given up. Things that had to be left behind. Think of the Levites leaving their tents and leaving their things, leaving their friends, and walking out of the calf. It might be hard. Nobody said it wouldn't be. I know in me, there is a flesh. The flesh likes to hold on to things. It likes to cling to things. It can be very painful to put something aside. The children of Israel have fallen into idolatry. There's idolatry abroad in this world today. Amongst believers as much as unbelievers. You want to know if something's an idol to you? Try and do without it. Put it aside. And see whether you have a longing for it. Because if you do, it's an idol. You put it away. And instead, stand up and commit yourself to God for his service. I find this as much a challenge as myself. This world we live in, this country we live in, we have so much to be thankful for. Life is very comfortable. Satan uses that to make us comfortable. Mm-hmm. We don't need to exert ourselves, is what he tells us. We've got a comfortable life. Don't push the boat. Don't rock the boat. Mm-hmm. It's all right to serve. Go to meetings. Turn up to church, whatever it is. Listen to the gospel. Go home again. Lead a quiet life. Keep your faith to yourself. But that's not what Scripture says. Who's on the Lord's side? Who's going to stand for him? Paul made that appeal to Timothy. And actually, of course, what I want to do is not just focus on the difficult side, but there was a benefit, there was a blessing to take in this stand. He says, lay hold of eternal life. Lay hold of eternal life. The Levites stepped out to say they were going to be on the Lord's side. If you read in Deuteronomy 10, verse 8, it says it was at that point that God took them up for his service, that they might bear his ark, that they might serve him, and that they might bless in his name. There was going to be such a blessing on the Levites that blessing would flow through them to others. We're not just talking about giving things up. We're talking about having stepped out for God. There was going to be such a blessing upon the Levites that they would be filled to the point that they could be a blessing to others. Deuteronomy 10, verse 8, if you want to look at it, say, they could be a blessing to others. And so, let's turn to the next scripture again. I have a scripture in Numbers, and I have one in Luke, and one in Timothy. So the first one, Numbers chapter 3. Numbers 3 in verse 40. A bit long, bear with me. Numbers 3 and verse 40. The children looking for it, page 176. And Jehovah said to Moses, number all the firstborn males, the children of Israel, from a month old and upwards, and take the number of their names, and thou shalt take the Levites for me, I am Jehovah, instead of all the firstborn among the children of Israel, and the cattle of the Levites instead of all the firstlings among the cattle of the children of Israel. And Moses numbered, as Jehovah had commanded him, all the firstborn among the children of Israel, and all the firstborn males by the number of the names, from a month old and upwards, according to the numbering, were 22,273. And Jehovah spoke to Moses, saying, Take the Levites instead of all the firstborn among all the children of Israel, and the cattle of the Levites instead of their cattle, and the Levites shall be mine, I am Jehovah. And for those that are to be ransomed, the 273 of the firstborn and the children of Israel, which are in excess over the Levites, thou shalt take 5 shekels apiece by the bull, according to the shekel of the sanctuary shalt thou take them. 20 gerahs a shekel. And thou shalt give the money unto Aaron and unto his sons, those in excess among them who are about to be ransomed. And Moses took the ransom money from them that were over and above those who were ransomed by the Levites. Of the firstborn and the children of Israel, he took the money, 1,365 shekels, according to the shekels of the sanctuary. And Moses gave the money of them that were ransomed to Aaron and to his sons, according to the commandment of Jehovah, as Jehovah had commanded Moses. And then the New Testament scripture to go with that is in Luke chapter 10. Very end of Luke chapter 10. And verse 38. And it came to pass, as they went, that Jesus entered into a certain village. And a certain woman, Martha by name, received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also, having sat down at the feet of Jesus, was listening to his word. Now Martha was distracted with much serving. And coming up, she said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Speak to her, therefore, that she may help me. But Jesus answering said to her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but there is need of one. And Mary has chosen the good part, the which shall not be taken from her. Moses went through an interesting exercise. He had to take all the firstborn of the children of Israel, who weren't Levites, all the ones for whom the Passover lamb had been, the blood had been shed. And then he had to take all the Levites. And they, in effect, had to match them all up. For every man there was, the firstborn, there had to be a Levite on his behalf. Okay, he matched them all up. And it turned out that there were 265 left over, people who didn't have a Levite to match up with them. And then he would collect the silver from those 265. And then give them to the priests. And I believe, I don't say it especially, but I believe that silver was what was used to make the silver trumpets that the priests used to blow when the cloud was about to move. And so I'd like to suggest that the Levites represent that part of us that lives and enjoys the presence of God. When you came up to the camp of the children of Israel, the tabernacle was in the middle. And around the tabernacle were the Levites on the north and south and west side, and then the priests were on the entrance at the front. Okay. So they were around serving God, right in the place, the start, where God's house was. And then radiating out, I think, like spokes of a wheel, there were all the other tribes around this tabernacle in the middle. So as you approached the camp, you wouldn't have immediately seen the tabernacle or the Levites. You'd have seen the others of the children of Israel. And that's very similar to us too, isn't it, in this present time? When people see us, they see our service, they see our character, they see how we express our love for the Lord, they see our singing and our praise and those things. All very much outward things, that are good things. But the Levite had a very special service. The Levite was right in the middle to serve God in the tabernacle. The priests were in the tabernacle, the Levites did all the other service. We see a little image of that, I think, in what happened with Mary and Martha. Martha invited the Lord Jesus into her home. Martha was honoured by the presence of the Lord Jesus. I would dare to say at this point that she loved the Lord Jesus, as any believer would love the Lord Jesus. And she was determined to do the very best that she could in service for the Lord Jesus. And she set to work to provide a meal that would demonstrate how much she appreciated the Lord Jesus. She was committed in service. And an ending negative to say about Martha. But the burden got too great. She was struggling. She was getting frustrated. There was, as one brother put it, there was much anxiety in the kitchen. And in the end, she came through and she got to the point where she went through to the Lord. She said, "Lord, do you not care that Mary is sitting there not helping me? She's doing this for the Lord because she loved him." Mary, on the other hand, was sitting at the Lord's feet and she was drinking in everything the Lord had to say. And I would put that analogy with Martha. It's so often like the rest of Israel. So often like us in our service for the Lord. We know the Lord. We love the Lord. We want to do the best we can for the Lord. And we commit ourselves in service. I read of a man in China who so committed himself in the service of the Lord that it wasn't until he was laid aside in illness that he realized that working for the Lord had become an idol to him. And that he'd left the Lord out of his life. And the Lord had actually had to bring him to a halt so to put the Lord back in the first place. And the Lord says that to Mary. He says, Mary has chosen the good part. She's sitting at his feet. She's found peace and she found rest at the feet of the Lord Jesus. And so that's my second blessing or portion of the Levite. They knew what it was in the middle of that camp to know what peace and rest was in the presence and under the instruction of God. Now, so often we're like Martha. We're so focused on our service for the Lord that actually spending time with the Lord gets pushed to one side. Or maybe takes up a small portion of the day. And the Lord was sitting there and said, Mary has chosen the good part. The Levite was able to bless in God's name because they knew blessings. The Levite also knew peace and rest in the presence of the Lord. And for us today, we are also to know rest and peace in the presence of the Lord. Mm-hmm. The disciples served the Lord. They went out in their twos. They came back and the Lord said to them, and I know it didn't happen because the feeding of the 5,000 happened, but the Lord said to them, he said, come aside and rest a while. It is very important. And I'm as guilty as this as the next person. Very important that we don't get so taken up with what we can do for the Lord that we leave the Lord out. And so the Levite knew what it was to have peace and rest. The next part of our is in Deuteronomy 18. Deuteronomy 18, and just the first two verses. Deuteronomy 18, the first two verses. The priests, the Levites, and the whole tribe of Levi shall have no portion nor inheritance with Israel. Jehovah's offerings by fire and his inheritance shall they eat, but they shall have no inheritance among their brethren. Jehovah, he is their inheritance, as he hath said unto them. And then the New Testament scripture that I'm going to apply that to is in Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25. Husbands, love your own wives, even as the Christ also loved the assembly, and has delivered himself up for it, in order that he might sanctify it, purifying it by the washing of water by the word, that he might present the assembly to himself, glorious, having no spot or wrinkle, or any such thing, so that it might be holy and blameless. You know, when I was younger, I used to think that this is a bit of a shame. You know, Levites had shown their dedication to God, and surely when they'd opt the land, they should have had the best of the land, the most fertile portion, and all the others should have got what was left over. But on the other side, on the other hand, what they were told was their portion, they were to have no land at all. Their portion was to be God himself. And I suppose the reason why I thought like that was because I was looking at things very much from the world point of view, isn't it? Where we think of what's physical as being more important than what's spiritual. The Levites were obviously given a place to live. They were given various cities to live in. six of which ended up in the cities of refuge, where a person who committed manslaughter could flee and was able to take refuge amongst the priestly company, and to know what it meant to be in the presence of a God who showed grace to those who didn't deserve it. But at the time of the wilderness, as they're passing through, the Levites, I'm next to suggest, are the only ones who were actually able to enjoy their inheritance while passing through the wilderness. The others all had to wait until they got to Canaan. The Levites' portion was God himself. And to put it in a way that makes hopefully a little bit more understandable, Ephesians chapter 5 gives us a picture of a Christian marriage. A state where the husband is the head of the household, loves his wife, and his wife is subject to one who she knows loves her. And when you think about a marriage like that, you think of all the little things. The little things that assure the wife of the love of her husband. The looks and the glances, the words, the kind words, the provision, all those things demonstrate so wonderfully how much he loves her. And of course, the picture is drawn of Christ in the assembly. And all the way through our lives, we have these little intimations and tastes of the love of Christ for us. The demonstrations how he provides for us. The word of comfort that's needed. The way he provides in a way that we know that, although people might say it's coincidence, it's nothing of the sort. You know, in a relationship like that, there comes a point where it wouldn't matter how much money the wife was going to be given, what blessings the life was going to be, as long as she had the husband, that was all that mattered. And for us, the same thing with the Lord Jesus. The Lord is our portion. Have we got to the point where it doesn't matter what I have, as long as I have the Lord, that's all that matters. I could have the whole world in its wealth and its power, and it would mean nothing because Jesus wasn't there. Is that where we've got to? Because for the Levite, the Lord was their portion. They knew how much he loved them. They'd seen it all the way through the plagues and the way God came in for them crossing the Red Sea. But they knew all those little things all the way through the wilderness, how much God loved them. Those who commit themselves to God. And the challenge to each of us, do we know how much the Lord loves us? Mm-hmm. Are we so resting in the love of the Lord Jesus that we're enjoying that as our portion now, that living relationship with a Saviour who loves us and in whose presence we love to be? I don't know whether the Levites knew it in its fullness, but the image is drawn for us. Do we know the Lord as our portion? We have been given the Lord as our portion. There's wonderful blessings in heaven, I know. The Levites and the Israelites are merged together when it comes to the Christian. But do we know the Lord as our portion? Because we have been given the Lord Jesus as our portion. Okay, so zone three. Blessed. We can bless in the Lord's name because of the blessings we've been given. We know peace and rest. We know the one who loves us. The fourth one I have is in Numbers chapter 3 again. Back to Numbers chapter 3. And verse 5. And Jehovah spoke to Moses, saying, bring the tribe of Levi near, and present them before Aaron the priest, that they may minister unto him. And they shall keep his charge and the charge of the whole assembly before the tent of meeting, to do the service of the tabernacle. And they shall keep all the utensils of the tent of meeting and the charge of the children of Israel to do the service of the tabernacle. And I particularly want to focus on this. And thou shalt give the Levites to Aaron and to his sons. They are wholly given to him out of the children of Israel. And Aaron and his sons shalt thou appoint, that they may attend to their priest's office, and the stranger that cometh near shall be put to death. And I'd like to turn New Testament scripture then to John 17. John 17, just a few verses there, starting in verse 6. John 17 and verse 6. Jesus is speaking to his Father in prayer. And he says, I have manifested thy name to the men whom thou gavest me out of the world. They were thine, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept my word. Now they have known that all things thou hast given me are of thee. For the words which thou hast given me, I have given them, and they have received them, and have known truly that I come out from thee, and have believed that thou sentest me. I demand concerning them, I do not demand concerning the world, but concerning those whom thou hast given me. For they are thine, and all that is mine is thine, and all that is thine mine, mine glorified in them. The fourth portion of the Levite had was that they were given to the priest. It's interesting in Numbers, it talks about the Levites and the priests doing the service of the Lord together. But the priest was to direct them, to instruct them as to what they were to do. And the Levites will do that. We too have been given to the great high priest. The Lord Jesus is that great high priest. We've been given to him. We belong to God, he says that. And we've been given to the Lord Jesus, that we might be his. In one sense, if you take the end of Mark's gospel, it says they went out, the Lord working with them. In one sense, we're working together with the Lord as one in the service of God upon the earth. And in preaching the gospel and in serving others. But yet we're under the priest's direction. The Levites knew what it was to belong to the priest. Now the wonderful blessings connected with belonging to the priest. If you look at the Lord's Prayer, there are a number of things that he asks of them. First of all, he gives us what comes from the Father. The words that he gave from the Father to us. Secondly, he intercedes for us by asking that we should be kept from evil, even though we stay in the world. Thirdly, if you read on a bit further, he sanctifies us, that we might be set apart for God's service. And fourthly, he sends us into the world. The wonderful thing about belonging to the high priest is knowing that we belong to one who has a genuine interest in our spiritual progress, one who loves us. One who is interceding for us, that we might have the strength to carry on in the service that God's given us to do. One who sets us apart, that we might serve God as a sanctified people. Those who have been set apart for God's service. Mm-hmm. One who gives us the wonderful blessings of words that come directly from the Father himself. It's not all about hard graft and service. It's about knowing the blessings that come from belonging to a priest who loves us, who's just interceding for us at this present time. You need to go to Romans chapter 8, isn't it? He lives to intercede for us. The Lord Jesus is appealing to the Father on our behalf at this present time that we might have the strength to be kept from evil and to do what his desires that we might do, whatever that may be. And so belonging to a priest is a wonderful thing. The portion of the believer is to belong to a priest who has a genuine interest in our spiritual progress. I'm sure the Levites understood that with Aaron and his sons as they served, and they did what they did for the priests and the Levites as well. They might sanctify them. They were asked to bring the offerings. They might sanctify the Levites, and the priests have to come as well, all set apart for the service of God. But do we know, have we recognized that there is a priest who loves us so much that he is working at this present time on our behalf, that we might be able to be strengthened and kept from evil and to carry on? Think of Martha trying to do her best, serving without sitting at the Lord's presence. She found it hard. Do we ever find that what we've been given to do is a burden? Take it to the Lord and realize that he is interceding for us, that we might have the strength to carry on into his presence and be kept from evil and to serve him until the day he calls us to himself. Last section I want to refer to, Numbers chapter 4, so just go over the page. I'm not going to read the whole chapter, I'll just read the first couple of verses. Numbers 4. And Jehovah spoke to Moses and to Aaron, saying, take the sum of the sons of Kohath from among the sons of Levi, after their families, according to their fathers' houses, from 30 years old and upward, even unto 50 years old, all that enter into the service, to do the work in the tent of meeting. If you read on the chapter, you'll find the sons of Merari are given tasks to do, and you'll also find that the sons of Gershon are also given tasks to do. But the New Testament scripture I wanted to refer to in relation to that is in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. And Ephesians 4 and verse 7. But to each one of us has been given grace according to the measure of the gift of the Christ. Wherefore he says, having ascended up on high, he has led captivity captive and has given gifts to men. The Levites were divided up according to their three families: the Kohathites, the Merarites, and the Gershonites. Yes. And each of them was given a specific task to do. The Kohathites were asked to carry the ark and the table of showbread and the candlestick from the very holy place in the tabernacle. The Gershonites were asked to carry all the coverings and the curtains and the different parts covered over the tabernacle and the linen from going around the outside of the court, etc. And the Merarites were asked to carry the boards and the pegs and all the different more solid objects that made up the tabernacle. Each of them had a responsibility. They weren't trying to take each other's burdens from each other. They were given a responsibility for what they had to do. I've often wondered about that, you know, because you might have been left to carry a tent peg. And you might have thought, well, I haven't got very much to do. God's not given me a great task. All I've got is a tent peg to carry. And I don't know whether the Levites appreciated it back then or not. But sometimes the Lord gives us just something to carry, something small. And if we know the Lord's given it to us, don't we want to look after it? Don't we want to take hold of it and make sure it's kept safe? So that when they arrive at the next point, my tent peg is ready to be put in the ground to hold up that part of the tabernacle. Because every little bit was vital to the structure of the tabernacle. The Levites didn't know it, of course. We only get it later on in the New Testament. But that every part of that tabernacle represented Christ and God's work in some way. From the veil, which was scarlet, representing the royalty of man. Blue, representing the heavenly colour. And then, of course, merged together into purple as a two-in-one. The blessed incarnation of the Lord Jesus, fully man, fully God. And the cherubim sewed upon it, says Paul, the absolute rights of God. Wonderful, the veil was torn in half when the Lord died, enabling us to enter in through the veil into that new and living way of the very presence of God. But right even down, you might have thought, the very basis upon which it was built, made from silver, speaking of the redemption, that the whole structure that God had built was founded upon the redemption work of Christ, having bought his people for himself. And that was the only basis by which God could tabernacle with men. Every single part that a Levite was asked to carry spoke of something to do with the Lord Jesus. For us today, the Lord has given us something in the quest of God to carry. Do we look at it as a burden that I have to carry this tent peg? Or do we look at it as a gift? And here is my little impression of what God has done for his house, of what the Lord Jesus has done. And I'm going to treasure that, and I'm going to say, and I'm going to show it to God's people. You go and visit an elderly brother or sister, or somebody's in hospital, and you take with them, have you got your little impression that you can show them, and you can say, this is what I've enjoyed. And you know, it helps to uphold the house of God, because today, of course, the house of God is the people that make up the assembly. And you might have something small. You might have something big. You might be asked to carry a board. And those boards were not small. It was about 10 cubits by 1.5 cubits. That's about 15 feet by 2.25. Okay? Now, of course, when you go to carry something that God wants you to do, God provides the grace to do it. And so, the Merarites and the Gershonites were given covered wagons. And they were given them according to the amount that was required to help them The Gershonites were given 2, and the Merarites were given 4, because the Merarites had more solid and heavy things to carry. And God will give you the grace that's required to do your part, to uphold the house of God. And he will give you that grace and that ability to be able to do it. And so if you've got a small service, or maybe you've got a big one, and you feel the burden, just remember that every service God has given you is not actually a burden. It's a gift. The Lord Jesus went on high, and it says he gave gifts. And he gave them according to the grace that he's given to each of us. He's given us the gift, and he's given us the grace to go with it. And I'm not specifically thinking here of our good works and service for the Lord in that way. But what I'm thinking of is I'm thinking of the Lord has given us some responsibility to uphold the house of God. Maybe you've been given the spiritual welfare of whole locality to try and look after. Maybe you've just been given today to make sure that so-and-so is encouraged. But do you take that part? Do you take that gift from God and you go and do it? And you say, I've got this little impression of the Lord Jesus. And I want to share it with you. I'm going to give you something that I've treasured. I've really appreciated this act of redemption. I'm carrying one of the bases today. I've got this appreciation of the redemptive work of Christ that I'm carrying. Do you know, we should appreciate it. I listened to somebody recently who said, do you know, if we understood from God's side how much we've been forgiven, we should be absolutely staggered by what he's done for us. I've been forgiven? And then God gives us some impression of what Jesus has done. Surely we should be ready to share that with one another. And so, just a few impressions as to the portion that we've been given. It's tied up with service, of course it is. But such is the blessing of the Levites. They were able to bless in God's name. Having been chosen because they heard that cry, who is on the Lord's side? And they went, leaving everything behind that they might serve him. And because they've done that, they have this opportunity to enjoy peace and rest. As all the other children of Israel went out and did their service, there was a Levite. There was a Levite in the center, representing them for God. And for us, of course, it's merged together. As we do our service, have we remembered the Levite within? The man of God within that feeds on the Lord Jesus and enjoys his presence and knows what peace and rest is, as Mary did, sitting at the feet of the Lord Jesus. Do we understand that the Lord himself has been given to us as our portion, and that he loves us, and that every day we can see and enjoy the little things that he gives? And do we know that we've been given to the priest, and that we're serving him together, and he's with us, and we're walking together, and we know that he's the one directing us, and we know that his guidance and his love and his intercession is so important? And finally, do we know that he's given each of us something to treasure, something to enjoy? We're to show it to one another. We're to build up the house of God. We're to do our part, whether small or great, that the Lord's people might be strengthened and they might be filled with an enjoyment of the presence of the Lord Jesus. And so I read 2 scriptures at the start. I said, forsake not the Levite. I also read the one in Psalm 84. The Levite literally will stand at the threshold of the door of God's house. And the other of the psalm said that they would rather be there than in tents of wickedness. We haven't actually entered into the Father's house yet. That will come one day soon. The Lord himself will lead us there into the Father's house. But today, while we're here, we can stand on the threshold and we can look at it. And like the Levite, we can stand and we can enjoy everything that we see of God's blessing for us. And so I would just implore this afternoon that we forsake not the Levite, the man of God within that loves to feed on everything that comes from Christ and feed in that relationship. That we put him first and that we find the wonderful blessings that flow from having the Lord Jesus as our portion at this present time. Paul said, you know, if to live is Christ, to live is Christ. I wonder, is that our portion? It's that weird. That's a real practical reality. So just leave that. I've given a few impressions. I hope that whatever's given will encourage us to go back and take our Bibles and look into it in more depth and understand what our present portion is that we can enjoy while we serve Him here below. Knowing, of course, that the day is coming when we will be with Him forevermore. Good be Sunday. Amen.